ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 46, entitled Uddhava Visits Vrindavan, Texts 42 and 43. So we can take advantage of 42, that's shorter, we can do that together, and then just simultaneously we do 43. So text 42. Yuvayoreva naivayam Atmajo Bhagavan Hari Sarvesham Atmajo Yatma Pita Mata Saishwara Yuvayoreva Naivayam Atmajo Bhagavan Hari Sarvesham Atmajo Yatma Pita Mata Saishwara Yuvayoreva Naivayam Atmajo Bhagavan Hari Sarvesham Atmajo Yatma Pita Mata Saishwara. Please chant. Mothers. Atmajo Bhagavan Hari Sarvesham Atmajo Pita Mata Saishwara. So I thought we can just do 43 together, and then I'll come back to the word for word and translation. So if you don't mind, go to 43. Dristam Shrutam Bhuta Bhavid Bhavisyat Stanus Charisnur Mahad Alpakamcha Vina Chutad Vastutaram Naivacham Sa Eva Sarvam Paramatma Bhuta. So let's go back to the word for word for 42. Yuvayor. Of you two. Eva. Alone. Na. Not. Eva. Indeed. I am. He. Atmaja. The Son. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari. Lord Krishna. Sarvesham. Of all. Atmajaha. The Son. He. Indeed. Atma. The very Self. Pita. Father. Mata. Mother. Saha. He. Isharha. The Controlling Lord. Translation. The Supreme Lord Hari is certainly not only not your son alone. Rather, being the Lord, he is the son, soul, father, and mother of everyone. Translation and purport for 43. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Nothing can be said to exist independent of Lord Achyuta. Nothing heard or seen, nothing in the past, present, or future, nothing moving or non-moving, great or small. He indeed is everything, for he is the Supreme Soul. Purport. Sri Uddhava is revealing the distress of Nanda, of Nanda and Yashoda by bringing them to a more philosophical plane. He is explaining that since Lord Krishna is everything and is within everything, his pure devotees are always with him. Om Gyana Timrandasya Gyana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Bhima Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Shila Virabha Upapu Vitinamani Shri Shri Vrindata Vivi Rapada Padpanka Jadayane Prabhupada Anubadaya Namah Shri Virabhavi Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschati Deshitani. Hare Krishna. So, what we're finding happening here is that Uddhava is in a very peculiar situation. From all angles is his good fortune. From the first angle is that, as we have heard in the past several classes, that Uddhava happened to have the good fortune of being the disciple of the guru of the demigods, Brihaspati. As such, he was exposed to vast learning. His other good fortune is that he's the cousin of Lord Krishna. He was very much resembling Lord Krishna. And the other thing about him is that because of his devotion to his spiritual master and his sincerity, yasya devi para bhakti yata devi tata guru, that only by the explicit faith in the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So Uddhava was a very advanced disciple of his spiritual master, and as such, he was able to accept the mercy of his guru, the result of which, thank you. His spiritual master gave him the opportunity, blessed him so that he can achieve the highest standard of devotional service, even something that Brihaspati didn't have himself. So this is the beauty of spiritual life, that by the mercy of the spiritual master, the sky becomes the limit. And if we are able to accept the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy is always there. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking somewhere in California, I believe. In the morning, before Govinda Marti, he was circumambulating the temple, walking around with some of his disciples. And Vishnujan Maharaj was in the temple, keeping a very sweet kirtan. So one disciple mentioned to Srila Prabhupada, who was walking with him, he said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, just see how much mercy you have given to Vishnujan Maharaj." Then Srila Prabhupada turned to him and said, "My mercy is there with everyone, but he took it." So that's our position, how much we are able to come forward and grasp the mercy that is being offered to us, how much we are willing to come out of our shelter and go out and get the showers of mercy. That becomes our great qualification. So on the one hand, Uddhava was very fortunate that he had explicit faith in his Guru Maharaj. So by that, it was arranged that he got a very advanced lesson in devotional service. And that is, Lord Krishna arranged that he, Uddhava, becomes the messenger to go to Vrindavan, to go to Vraj, and take messages to his most advanced devotees. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna was thinking, he said, Oh, you Uddhava, you're thinking that the Mathura Basis have very advanced affection for me. You wait until you go to Vraj, then you learn something more. So with this in mind, he was consulting with his brother Balaram and his mother Rohini. So they're thinking of sending someone to Vraj to give this message, and then Uddhava was chosen as the most qualified person. So that's another quality that Uddhava manifested here, the quality that Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas expect us to have, and that is to be very transparent. I don't think there is such a word as very transparent. Transparent in itself means very. But for argument's sake, we can say very transparent, that we are willing to hear from our superiors and transmit the same thing. So like Srila Prabhupada has his Bhagavad Gita as it is. And with all the other books, doesn't have the name, the words "as it is" behind it, we can understand. Like Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, Chaitanya Charitamrita as it is, Nectar of Devotion as it is. Because Srila Prabhupada gave it exactly as it is. So Uddhava has the same transparency. So Krishna had a lot of confidence that he's going to give the very message directly without any screwing in or screwing out anything, no changes, directly to the residents of Raj. So, with that in mind, Uddhava was sent to Vraja to try to console the Vrajvasis, whom we heard that they were all deserted, their houses were dirty, they weren't doing anything. They were only maintaining their lives because they understand that would make Krishna happy if they were still alive. Other than that, they had no reasons to stay alive. So, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he was telling them that, "Don't worry, Krishna would come back." Then Nanda Maharaj said, yes, here it goes again. Yes, Krishna is going to come back. You know, already so many days have gone, he hasn't returned. So, he was trying to console them in different ways. But what Uddhava found is that indeed when he taught that the Mathurabhasis were very advanced and they had a lot of love for Krishna, when he saw the Vrajabhasis, it was way beyond his level of understanding at the time. That they're only living for Krishna's pleasure. That their everything is only for Krishna. And there was one more thing that he realized as he was trying to tell them. He was trying to give them all instruction. He was trying to pacify them, which worked to some extent because of Uddhava's qualification. And that qualification is that he transmits the Lord's message exactly as he got it. So that's also our qualification in this preaching movement. To hear from our spiritual masters and our superiors and give it out exactly the same. If we do that, even though Uddhava, in this case, was a junior person, the Vrajabhasis are much more advanced than him, yet he was placed in a position of a messenger, an instructor, and a teacher. So it was kind of awkward, just like I'm feeling very awkward here, sitting and giving these instructions and speaking to so many senior devotees, both in the temple room here and probably if it's on the internet who is listening out there. So it's quite awkward. But if I think that, oh, I'm giving instructions, then that's extremely bad for me. Extremely. Krishna consciousness is designed in such a way that in whatever position a junior person is in, whether being as a teacher, instructor, or manager to manage the other senior devotees, whatever position, he's the one that always receives the blessing. That the blessings of the senior devotees are always on him, whether he is acting as their student or acting as their teacher or lecturer or in whatever case. So in this case, Uddhava is in the same situation, that he's in a position where he's placed to give instructions to senior personalities, much more senior than himself. He's seeing a level of devotional service that he had never imagined existed before. These Vrajabhasis, they're so much in love with Krishna. So much so that they don't even know that Krishna is God. So this is another thing that if some newcomer hear our philosophy, they would think, you know, what's up with these Hare Krishna people? At first, we learn that Krishna is God. And as you become more advanced, like the Vrajabhasis, then they don't understand that Krishna is God. All they know is that they love Krishna to death. That's all. So that's what comes to today's verses, that after Uddhava was giving them all these different instructions, trying to pacify them in all different ways, he found that the success wasn't as what he expected. So then he decided, let me give them some philosophical instructions. So here's where it comes. He's telling them that don't think that Krishna is your son alone, that Krishna is the son, father, mother of everyone. Like in this popular bhajan we have, you know, Nadia Gurruma Nityananda Mahajan. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. That's one of the last verses. That Krishna is our mother, Krishna is our father, and Krishna is the life and air of our very existence. So Uddhava is trying to tell them that. And that's the last thing that they want to hear, that you're telling us now, first of all, you're trying to pacify us that Krishna is going to come back. And now you're trying to tell us, well, Krishna is God. You know, what a scam are you trying to present here? So that's the last thing that they want to hear, that Krishna is God. They don't understand that. That's how advanced they are. They don't understand that Krishna is God. It kind of sounds contradictory. But it's true. So on the first level, we don't understand Krishna is God. Then as we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, we understand that Krishna is God. And then the Vrajavasis level, they don't understand Krishna is God. All they know that we love this person, this is our heart and soul. Just like Bilvamangala Thakur also had his lessons with this. We all know the story of he and this prostitute who he took her good instructions as his spiritual master was speaking to him. He even plucked his eyes out and he went to Vrindavan. He was told, go to Vrindavan and you'll find Bhagavan there, you'll find God there. So he went to Vrindavan and he was inquiring from everyone. He said, I was told Bhagavan is here and I want to meet Bhagavan. So the Vrajabhasis are saying, Bhagavan, there's no Bhagavan here. You know, we don't know of any Bhagavan, God is not here. So then he became very confused. He said, well, the other devotees, they won't lie. You know, the sages, they always tell the truth. That they said Bhagavan is in Vrindavan. And I have strong faith in their words that something is wrong here. But then by his sincerity, he understood something. He said, oh, that I'm presenting it in the wrong way. Just like Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the Mayapur project, they had this little hut, I think the place is still there, where Srila Prabhupada was residing. So his disciples came to him one day and said, Srila Prabhupada, we want to build you a very nice place, very nice, comfortable place for you. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, that's not necessary, this hut is just good enough. So then they were all confused because they have to show, they want to show the proper standard of worship of the spiritual master. And they want to give that facility. But Srila Prabhupada was refusing. So after they consulted with themselves, they figured out what their mistake was. So then they went back to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, to show the proper honor and worship of the spiritual master, we want to build this nice facility. Then Srila Prabhupada said, oh yes, then that's okay. So when the proper understanding is there, then yes, everything else can come. So Bilvamangala Thakur was in a similar situation. So then he understood, oh, that these Vrajabhasis, they don't see Krishna as God. They don't know that Krishna is God. So then he went back, he said, I want to see that boy, Krishna. Then all the Vrajabhasis, they were immediately stunned. Their hair was standing on end, they fell in ecstasy. Oh, that boy, Krishna, we love him so much. He's here, yes, he's here. So it's a very, very sweet pastime. So similarly, the Vrajabhasis, when they talk about, when Uddhava is trying to tell them Krishna is God, it's like, they don't understand that. They don't understand. They don't want to hear it. They don't understand it. They don't want to comprehend it. So Uddhava is trying in different means to tell them. So just like in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada said that when Krishna was instructing Arjuna in all these subject matters, it's pretty much for us people of Kali Yuga. It's really for the world to understand that Krishna is God. So with this in mind, I am understanding here that Uddhava is really, really not, yes, he's speaking to the Vrajabhasis, but mainly he's instructing us that Krishna is God. But how can we understand, or how can I understand that Krishna is God? According to our practice, it's a whole process. So Srila Prabhupada has given us the basics. Not the basics, he's given us everything in complete, but he starts us from the very beginning. Like, he gave us the four regulative principles and the chanting of 16 rounds as the basis for our spiritual life. So, out of the four regulative principles, Three of them are total no's. No intoxication. He didn't say, well, some are regulated. No meat eating. No gambling. As far as sex life, illicit sex, he said no illicit sex. That there's some kind of a regulation there. And we heard in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am sex life according to religious principles. But he said according to religious principles. So that's like a key word, religious principles. And even in the sixth chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, chapter text 14, that purport, I think the second, third paragraph somewhere there, that in all these different schools, all these different yoga schools, sex life is completely prohibited. But in the bhakti school, that's the only school that's allowed, that it is allowed, like in our devotional service here. Our school here, our institution is considered a bhakti school. That this is allowed under regulation. Because, as Sridhar Swami commented there, he said, because the process of devotional service is so powerful that the taste for such activity diminishes. So with that, it's allowed. But then, remember Krishna said that, you know, according to religious principles, and throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives all these different instructions, all these different religious principles he pointed out. But towards the end, he says, Sarva Dharman Parichaja Mame Kam Sharanam Raja. So just give up all these different varieties of religion and surrender unto me. So what does that mean? What does that mean, that give up all these different religious principles? Does it mean that the principle of illicit sex life is also there? Probably yes. So Srila Prabhupada states in his purport, in the fourth canto, actually fourth canto chapter 25, in that Puranjan story, in text 62, I'll actually read it because I don't want anyone to say, well, I'm just misrepresenting or saying something false. Canto 4, chapter 25, text 62. In the purport is the third paragraph of that purport. I'll actually read the whole paragraph, but the last part is what I want to say. On the whole, for spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of women. And of course, on the other hand, with women is the company of men. This is what is meant by the order of sannyas, the renounce order. Before taking sannyas, or completely renouncing the world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. And this is the part Srila Prabhupada mentioned here. Sex life, licit or illicit, is practically the same. But through illicit sex, one becomes more and more captivated. By regulating one's sex life, there is a chance, and I repeat that, Prabhupada says, by regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. If this can be done, advancement in spiritual life comes very easily. So, here Srila Prabhupada is saying is that by regulating this activity, there's not that guarantee. So Srila Prabhupada qualifies his statement in this aspect, in what Krishna is saying, give up the varieties of religion and surrender unto me. Srila Prabhupada is making a qualification here that through this process, that one may stand a chance. So the best thing to do is to eventually give it up altogether. So this is basically what Srila Prabhupada gave, or this is the first step. And this first step of the four regulative principles and chanting of 16 rounds, well, the four regulative principles, these are the gross principles that one has to follow. They're gross in that you have to have physical activities before you can physical elements before you can engage in these activities. Like for gambling, you need physical elements for that. Intoxication, you need physical elements. Meat eating, you need physical elements. Illicit sex life, or that also you need physical elements. But those are pretty much the basic stuff. More and above that, there are so many more instructions that are there, because this chanting of Hare Krishna is considered to be aushadho, is the medicine for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. The medicine for us to learn that we are actually missing Krishna. So when we're taking a medicine, the doctor would recommend and advise, or sometimes strictly enforce, that you have to follow these regulations. These regulations, if not, the medicine would not be as effective, or maybe not at all. So along with following these principles, these are just the gross principles, but there's so much more subtle things that one has to develop in your Krishna consciousness to come to that stage, to be able to see Krishna and to be able to understand that he is Bhagavan, he is God. So it's a long process. Srila Prabhupada used the word gradual. He said because this Krishna consciousness movement is so powerful, it will not be slow, it will be gradual if we take it seriously. So once one avoids these physical outside elements, then that's very good, but he still has his insight to deal with. His mind, his mentality, and these are actually real anarthas that one has to get rid of. The physical elements, those are easy stuff. These four principles, basically those are easy stuff. Is to get rid of what we're thinking within here, the consciousness we have, the mindset we have, to get rid of these six obstacles, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, sarva, matsarya. So lust, anger, greed, delusion, pride, and envy. Actually, when I was in Vrindavan, I was in Lohi Bazaar. And when I was there, I was buying something. So I saw one sadhu was coming up. So I told the wala, said, give me my change quickly because I want to give a donation to the sadhu. And he said, oh, no, don't do that. He said, the sadhu gets so angry and curse you that he's very advanced. You can't give him donation. So the next day, coincidentally, Dinabandhu Prabhu was telling me and a few other devotees. He said that sometimes you find there are many sadhus, they follow very strictly. He said, but oh, anger, they can't control that. So that's one of the real anarthas that we have to deal with. Lust, anger, greed. These are the subtle things that are within, that is harder to get rid of. And unless we are able to pass that barrier, the vision of Krishna still becomes blurred. So this is another stage of advancement. It's the clearing stage. So first of all, we have to have some faith in the holy name. Adau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Initial faith, and we have to practice the process. And as we go along, like we have Lord Chaitanya give the Shikshashtaka prayers. That basically, in a nutshell, what it is to prepare our mentality in the right frame of mind so that the spiritual master can reveal Krishna to us. We have to prepare our bodies and our mental structure in such a way so that Krishna would be revealed to us. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, he said, don't try to see God, but act in such a way so that God can see us. So this is our process of Krishna consciousness, to act in such a way that Krishna can reveal himself to us, and that's the way we can understand that he is God. You know, it's like all over the world. Now everyone knows of Krishna. I just got my new phone, and when you're texting or typing anything, as soon as you click some, I'm way behind on these technologies, so this is probably new for me, old for you. And as you start typing the letters of a word, it starts bringing up suggested words. So now, when I'm texting to devotees, as soon as I type KR, immediately Krishna comes up. So it's even in the in the world out there, then they have so much recognized Krishna. And we have literally millions of Bhagavad Gitas and our books that are all over the planet, along with other people's books that the name Krishna is there. Many of them are saying Krishna is God. Of course, they don't explain it the way we do and show that transparency. And yet, it's a big secret. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he said, you know, one chapter is called the most confidential knowledge. Just like you go to the stores, when you go to the cash out booths at all these stores, they have, oh, the big secrets are there. This Hollywood star and that one and all his secrets. It's all there publicly, and they said it's a secret. Similarly, Krishna consciousness, it's a big secret. It's there publicly, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's name, all over the planet. And it's still a secret. Why? Because for us to understand, we have to create that special frame of mind to understand that Krishna is God. Just hearing it in words is not going to cut it. It's not good enough. It's at least good, but we have to do a little more than that. We have a little bit more work to do than that. Some time ago, one devotee was telling me, he was at the LA Ratha Yatra, and a guy came up with his big Harley motorcycle, vroom, 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 big, you know, his scruffy hair and fancy jacket, and said, "Oh, Hare Krishna, how are you?" And then he gave his name, and name is such and such, and the devotee was startled because it's a devotional name, such and such Das. So then the guy jumped off of his Harley. He said, "Man, I'm hungry. I want a prasadam. I come for the prasadam." So he jumped off his Harley cycle, pulled off his jacket. He opened on his shirt, pulled it apart, and showed his big Narsingadev he had tattooed on his chest. And then he reached in his little pocket he have in his motorcycle, pulled out his bead bag. He said, "I'm a Hare Krishna too, you know. Yeah, I'm chanting my rounds." So that's good. You know, he's chanting his rounds, he's a devotee. But we have to go a little farther. Trinada Pisuniche Netarora Pisa Hisnona. We have to adopt that humble attitude. One should be more humble than a straw in the street, be more tolerant than a tree. And like that we can chant the holy names properly. So for me, Uddhava is giving instructions here to us that, okay, here you are, you know, I'm telling you Krishna is God. But it's a process to understand. The whole nectar of devotion, that whole process is there. We also have nectar of instruction. There are so many instructions, Bhagavatam. There are also the Satrup Maharaj wrote that book, The 26 Qualities of a Devotee. And also, he also wrote that book, The Japa Reform Notebook. Actually, that was a kind of incident. I was there. I actually just joined the movement about 2 weeks. And the first time I would see Satrup Maharaj, we went, and after Mangal Arati, we were walking in the temple room back and forth, himself and his disciples, and I was also there, walking back and forth. And then there was another bhakta just joined the movement too. He walked right up to Satrup Maharaj. He said, "Maharaj, you're not chanting your rungs clearly." And after that, after a few minutes, he left the devotees and he went back up in his room. And that's when he wrote Japa Reform Notebook. You know, he didn't take it, "Well, oh, who is this new bhakta to tell me?" No, he said that an intelligent person takes good instructions even if it's being given by a fool. So that's the humility. That's one of the qualities that we have to develop. And then all these devotional qualities would come. So, you know, we have to flex, we have to open up. so that the spiritual master can force in these divine qualities into us. That's like most people who had massages. One of the first thing they tell you, well, just relax, relax your muscles, don't flex, you know, don't tighten them, just relax, and then they can start flexing your muscles. But if you try to be tight, it's hard for them, they can't do it. So similarly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, we have to prepare ourselves, we have to open up so that the mercy of the Vaishnavas can flow within us. So this is very instructive, that unless that happens, then to understand Krishna is God is going to be a little difficult for us. I mean, not for you, but for me. Because coming to this point, I'm actually thanking all of you for giving me the opportunity to sit here and speaking aloud to myself. As I know you all understand these topics, but for me, I need to understand them, and I'm pretty much speaking to myself here aloud. So these are some of the thoughts I have on these verses. If anyone has any questions or comments, you can take them. Mother Raga?
Thank you. That was a very extraordinary class. I really appreciated it very much.
Thank you
especially
so much.
Especially these points about the Japa Reform Notebook and Satsarupa, and that was very nice. Thank you so much. So I'm just wondering, you were talking about Bilvamangala Thakur, and I'm wondering who his first guru was, because I thought that he took Chintamani as a guru eventually.
Yeah, I don't know the details of his story so much. What I knew is that when Chintamani told him, after he went through so many sacrifices to go to meet her, through the river, the storm, holding on to a snake to pull up himself, and she told him, she said, if you can dedicate this much energy to advance your spiritual life, then that would be so much beneficial for you. So at that point, his eyes opened and he took it as his guru speaking to him through this prostitute. That's like my understanding. Maybe somebody else would have to add something to that. So I don't know who his original guru was, but he took that because he was intelligent. And that's why I made that statement just now, that an intelligent person takes good instructions, even if it's being given by a fool. Yeah, so it's very important that we leave ourselves open. We may not know from what angle someone is coming or what plan Krishna has for us. You know, so he takes good instructions and he opens himself to that, which means that he was also able to drop this heavy burden of material attachment. That's one of the points I'd want to bring up. That with all we have, the chanting of our rungs, the regulated principles, all these principles, but we have to give up. We have to learn to loosen up. We have to learn to give up our attachments. There's one story. It's a little funny, but and I'm not pointing this to anyone. I hope no Trinidad people are listening in here. There's one guy walking in Trinidad with a big bundle of firewood on his head. So another man came up with his pickup truck and said, hey, do you want a ride? You're walking in this hot road. Let me give you a ride. Jump in at the back of my pickup truck. So the guy jumped in and they drove off. So after some distance, the driver happened to peek through his rearview mirror and saw the most stupid thing. And he turned around. He turned around and looked at him. He said, hey, he saw the guy still had a bundle of wood on his head sitting in the back of the pickup truck. And he said, hey, what's wrong with you? Put your wood down. Why aren't you putting your wood down? He said, oh, you gave me a ride, but I don't know if you give my wood a ride. So the lesson here is that all these Vaishnavas, all these devotees are coming to us to give us so much information, give us instruction. The guru is here. But we're holding on. We're holding on to our attachment. We're not loosening up. We're not giving up. So, that's the idea, is that Bilvamangala Thakur, he was very intelligent in that way, that I have to give up. And his attachment was for lust. And he was so strong in his intelligence, he said, these eyes are what is causing me to be bound here, therefore I'll pluck them out. And he took somebody's, what those hairpins, those black, whatever they call hairpins, and he plucked his eyes out. I mean, that's extreme. I'm not saying anyone should do that. I wouldn't do it. Say on the way to Vikram Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. It's good to remind us about the religious principles from time to time. It's essential. The one you were speaking about in terms of illicit sex life, we've seen that, I mean, it has gone to such an extreme now where you're having men and men getting married, yeah. Women and women getting married. Mm. I mean, and of course, sex life is just for the propagation of progeny, you know. And this has been accepted in even all the religious
sectors.
You know, I mean, it's... So how can we be able to combat this kind of practice now?
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada says very clear. He said even the United Nations, they're trying to create so many schemes to combat the negativities of today's world. He said, but it's not going to work. He said, only if you understand that Krishna is God and practice the process of devotional service. We have seen so many failures out there. Pretty much the only success, and I don't mean to be offensive to anyone out there, but the only success we are seeing in this world today is this Krishna consciousness movement. That devotees, members, are able to come to such a sane platform and carry on their activities in this world. Prahlad Maharaj prays in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. He does a very, very beautiful prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Narishringaya Namaste Jateja Avir Avir Bhava Rajanakam Rajadamsa Kamra Shrayam Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasha Grasha Om Swaha. And he's offering his obeisances to Lord Nishinadev. He says there, he said, Oh my Lord, just as you ripped apart with your strong nails the chest of Hiranyakashipu, he said, please enter within our hearts so that we can be purified. He said, please appear within our hearts so that by your mercy we can, how did this go? That by your mercy I can be fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So this material world is a struggle. So Prahlad Maharaj directly prays, please appear within our hearts so that by your mercy, that's the key word, by your mercy, we can be fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So anywhere we turn, there is struggle. But if we have dependence on the Lord by the proper process of devotional service, then and only then our success is guaranteed. Does that make sense? Yeah, Madan Mohan Prabhu?
I was remembering this point that was made in class, and it seems to be very useful. It gave the example of a businessman. Because his intelligence was fixed on making money, he could make money if the market went up, and he could also make money if the market went down. Mm-hmm. So when a devotee wants to make advancement, then his intelligence is given to him how to make advancement in this situation and in that situation, and that's more or less the mode of goodness, that instead of taking it personally, mode of passion, saying something retaliatory, mode of ignorance, he thinks, here's Krishna giving me an opportunity to act in such a way that I could please Krishna and Prabhupada by remembering some of their instructions on how to stay in that mood. So in that mode of goodness, you can see that humility would automatically be there, because it says if one 13:8-12, it says if one applies his Krishna consciousness, just accepts the Krishna consciousness, then all the qualities, they'll automatically come on their own. There's no need to develop any of the qualities separately. Simply by trying to be a devotee, Krishna will give you the intelligence how to come to him, 10:10. And in that way, he can make advancement in any situation. So we can see that the devotees that applied that, how that looks, you know, that, oh, here's a situation. So he thinks, how can I make advancement in this situation? And very quickly it'll come if you think like that.
Yeah, so that's the key word of what you're saying, application. And when I was in high school, we were doing physics, and then we were doing applied physics. You know, so the physics, I went well on that. You know, I topped the class, that's fine. When it comes to applied physics, uh-oh. You know, so when to apply that, it was a whole different story. So, like, that's how we had our classes. We had high school level, and then we had advanced level. So the advance is to apply what you have learned, apply these. So that's a key word there, application. If one applies Krishna consciousness, then sky's the limit for advancement. And if we, to the extent that we don't apply, that's how much we're slowed up. And actually, when you're talking about to see a situation, a down situation is favorable, one, the very first quality that has to be there is humility. And which means one has to be humble. And for one to be humble, he has to see things in a certain way. Like it is stated that in the outside world, people looks to, we are looking to exploit others. That's what the whole karma world is all about, to exploit everyone else. In Krishna consciousness, what we have to understand in context, that we don't look to exploit others, but we look to be exploited by others. By that, please don't take me wrong, that okay, we go around exploiting devotees. What that basically means, that we're looking for an opportunity, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh Krishna, oh energy of Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service. So if you're chanting sincere, people are going to come and engage you in Krishna service because that's what you're asking for. And Krishna don't always come personally. He may send the devotees, your peers, your friends, may even send a karmi, may send a temple president, GBC, to engage you in Krishna service, because that's what we're asking for. So when we are asking like that, and Krishna sends to engage you in Krishna consciousness, then sometimes you say, oh no, I can't do service because I have to chant my rounds. You know, so it can be a little awkward. You know, yes, the guru's most important instructions is to chant 16 rounds, but we have to understand what that means. So that humility has to be there. If not, advancement becomes a little troublesome. So any other questions or comments? I guess we can end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.